I said.
Well, I was wondering if you possibly ought to get some of your people start getting out their tax. Start getting a little see that all agencies of government strictly comply with my provision. Which is in view of present attitude of the chosen government for American Christians.
Hardline.
This issue, I remember the first time I heard about it. Because what he wrote
that's what the meeting is this morning, Scott, so if it's Scott,
are you gonna be there now?
No, sir. I've sent one of my men with Clark McGregor.
Yeah.
Noah Cook, who's been writing for Bob Dole and doing very well.
Good.
Is going up at 11, and he's gonna start writing for the leadership and for Dole on the political counterattack.
He's a good writer.
Yeah, it's good, it's tough. He's a good, hard-line writer.
Good.
Buchanan has written some good stuff, like Barry Goldwater op-ed piece in the New York Times on the bombing was done by Patton. That has that twist to it. I have a young writer by the name of Karolikas who does very good political stuff. He's tough and sharp, and Halleck works in it. So we have it's not a lack of writers, Mr. President. The problem is that over the last 3 weeks, we have not done well at all, and it's been, I think, a threefold problem. One, our troops have been complacent, and it's been very hard to get them cranked up.
Right?
I don't know whether it's the mood or the fact that they think things are going so well that they don't have to worry about it.
No, I understand. No, it's mainly the fact it's vacation.
That's probably
I know, it always happens.
Very large part of it. The second part is that our guys have been away while the Democrats have been out on the hustle. The third part, which is the most realistic appraisal, is the press. This has been the field day for building up the Democrats. Now, we will start getting our licks in. The vice president put out, not to bring you with problems, but he put out a hell of a tough statement on Saturday.
I know, he didn't get any
help. He got buried in the Humphrey series. It's just that right now the focus is on building up the Democrats.
No, they basically gave us some stuff before immediately after Christmas, and now they figure they got in there and try to get the Democrats in our
time. Yeah, and from a political journalist standpoint, the interest right now is the movement of the Democrats.
And then the interest will turn to us. I realize that. Apart from their basic biases, that's the case.
Well, Cook went up this morning with four speeches, one for each of the four Republican
allies.
And he's going to give them to him at 11, and I've told him that the problem our fellows had, Mr. President, is not that they're unwilling to do it, they don't know how. We have to go up there and actually not only reproduce their
customers.
Yeah, he's not coming. He's the one who does. But
let's get him shot, constantly beat up, and count on him for us, because he's a mercurial ball. Get Barry. Barry ought to get in the ring, son. I think Scott, Barry, Dole, those are the only ones I think that can do a goddamn. I don't know anybody else that could. I don't know where the hell Baker is. People like that, he never opens a gap, does he?
No, he's not much of.
He's not good.
One of the things that we've discovered, though, Mr. President.
Ford
is good. One of the things that is more helpful than you will always see in the news summary is that we're using Wendell Wyatt in Oregon. We're using Gurney in Florida.
Gurney didn't put that well. I'm sure he knows that.
Louis Wyman in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And if you pick the primary states, the key ones.
They're getting back to
that. And they're getting back home publicity. You know, if Wendell Wyatt, or a better example, if Gurney or Louis Wyman take Muskegon very hard, as they're doing now, we don't see it in the national media, but in the states where the primaries are going on, it has its impact. On Teddy this morning, we've got four good statements. One of them pointing out that Eben Humphrey has had to twice, titular leader of the Democratic Party, has twice had to restrain Teddy Kennedy's youthful, exuberant, personal attacks upon the president and call upon Humphrey to do it once more. Splitting Humphrey into, every chance we have to build up one Democrat at the expense of another is a technique that we've got to employ all year long, because that really puts their feet to the fire. It's a hell of a lot better than just broadside attacking them. So one of these statements is building up Hubert as the defender of the Democratic Party's conscience and not allowing the young senator from Massachusetts to run away with his personal attacks on the office of the president. Regardless of how partisan he might feel, the bounds of partisanship go just so far. That was a brutal speech last night. God, that was just not even good.
I don't say it that way. You know, when we talk about brutal, we ought to be brutal. That's all. It's be brutal as hell all the time.
If a Republican out of office had given that speech last night,
they'd have
just
that's the most colorful guy they deal with.
He gives them problems whenever they build him up, though, because he, by comparison, he makes Muskie look like a very weak sister.
Yeah, a big dishwater.
Yeah, really does. And, I think Kennedy does him a lot of harm when he does that. He,
yeah.
The moment he takes that center stage that way, Mr. President, he weakens the enthusiasm of the Democrats for, you know, the candidates that they have. And I've been the fellow for a year who's been most concerned about Muskie's candidacy, but I have to say after Sunday that unless that was a very bad day for him and very unusual for him, he's not going to be much of a guy.
They both his dad and his announcement statement were typical of what he is, and frankly, if he gives a nomination, that's all right. We can. They talk about color.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand, Christ, we'll go out and then be the colorful candidate.
We'll
hell with him.
We'll beat hell out of
him. Yeah. It'll be done. But the point is, I do feel that you've got to get brutal as hell with these people. I mean, particularly in just attacking them. Just attacking them on the war. Let's start making the war the issue. In a week or so, you'll see there are reasons for that. But the point is, make the war the issue. They got us into war, and Nixon is getting us out. Has anybody ever said that?
Yes, sir.
Why don't they say it again? They got us in, they got us in. They sent the men to Vietnam, Nixon getting them out. They increased the American gangsters, Nixon reduced them.
Oh, they
under pressure, we get them.
No, they, you know, got them good on that last week. And they've all been reacting to his escalator comment, which really... that really zinged him, because Humphrey spent his whole press conference Saturday morning defending himself.
I'm trying to say that he and Leonard and I were born too, on
Christ.
The state creates what the Christ did we do.
That's a damn poor answer, right?
That's a damn poor answer. They were not partisan, and now I am partisan. What the hell? But I mean, this Montague, I said, nothing personal, I see it as a golden opportunity, though, to make the war issue. Now, raise the Pentagon Papers again here. Who they all got to mean?
Dole's got a good speech for next week.
I got there, took 45 Republican senators, one of them get up there and start slugging somebody.
Well, Dole is good, he's got an acid tongue.
Also got a couple of those. Well, you see my whole point.
Yes, sir.
War is one that we ought to really, let me tell you, Larry O'Brien's statement was not all that. I mean, our people were stupid enough, some of them, to think, isn't that great? Larry O'Brien, Henry was saying, he even says the war can't be an issue. I said, Henry, you don't think he said that to help us? He said, because he didn't want it to be an issue.
Precisely.
God damn it, it's our issue, not theirs. They got us in, we got them out.
Right.
That's the whole line.
There are two issues, Mr. President, that are going to undo the Democrats. One is the war, and they're having gotten us into it, and mismanagement of foreign affairs. And the second is busing, and they're just cut right up the middle on that issue. And as was pointed out this morning, and I've forgotten who's down, but when they reformed the rules, Dick Salmon of the Democratic Convention, you know, the way in which you choose delegates, Salmon was the guy who warned him. He said, do you really want George Wallace arriving at your next convention with a couple hundred delegates? And they never thought about that, but that's what's going to happen. He said, Wallace is going to go into that convention on a platform of no busing. And when he arrives there with a couple hundred delegates in his pocket, which they can't stop him, I don't think at this point, he just throws them right up the middle on that issue. And we are in marvelous posture at the moment.
We have a difficult problem. We can't get out of my country and say a court decision is wrong. I can't do that. I can't do it first. I wouldn't do it anyway, but I can only say that, well, speaking in general terms about our principle, I can't say the Richmond decision is wrong until the Supreme Court acts on it and they can move the legislative side.
Well, that's one that we want to be alert to opportunities to exploit wherever we can, because I think that's the domestic issue, and the war is the other one. And those two issues, Mr. President, they work for us and against the Democrats. And
very well.
And if we just neutralize that the damned economy is an issue, then these two are winners. I don't. I just totally convinced it.
Well, I just want to know that I saw Kennedy's speech as a hell of an opportunity. Mainly because if anybody oversteps, there's always a counter-reaction. I got that many overstep, but not unless we do.
Right.
And say, well, it was horrible then that he has said.
Well, both times before that he's overstepped, we've hit him, and he's gotten a very bad second wave reaction, editorial comments. We'll do it today. I'll do it if I up there and mouth the words myself. We've written the stuff, and it's being given to them right now. And Scott's in a good mood for this, by the way. Scott, we talked to him this morning. McGregor and I talked to him about this sort of thing of answering kind of. And he's in a feisty kind of a mood. You know, he's kind of feeling his oats, and there's been some very good press about Scott and his relationship with you and working with the White House. He's riding high, so I think we can use him.
I want him to get, be sure he gets a good Q&A on how to respond to the POW withdrawal issue on Sunday and he's on the press.
Yes.
You know, he's got to have something very, very understandable and simple to where he can stick it in. Playing out the South Vietnamese, I just last week turned down.
Well, that was the thing I thought was so unfair in Kennedy's speech last night, where he said that you were propping up the two government just long enough to get reelected at home. And that's nothing popular about propping up the two government.
Oh, sure. Well, and fair enough. Why did they got us in the goddamn thing? And they did not a son of a bitch thing to get us out. They didn't bring anybody home. They didn't get the casualties down. What did they do? What did they do? Nothing. More and more and more, and they never had. They never brought a man home. You know what I mean? They never reduced the stealing, and they never reduced the casualties. Now, what the hell are they talking about here? And they never reduced the bombing. We've done all everything. We're getting out. Of course, we get away with these little cheats. Now, what I meant is, this isn't going to hurt us as much as it is as an advantage for us.
Well, guys
have got to realize they got to kick them hard in the seat and make it stick to the Democratic Party as the war party.
This is the
thing. This is the war party.
Toughest thing to get our people to understand, Mr. President. They say, well, don't escalate it. We're not being hurt by it. And my answer to them is,
that's not our point.
No, my answer is, you've got an opportunity to score. You just,
on lots of these things, we have very fine issues, score.
And we need to exploit them. We've got a hell of a lot of people that need to be educated. This is the way you get your message to them. Had an interesting one.
You have,
an interesting
one. I
thought it was interesting that his speech was never once interrupted by applause. He spoke for 25 minutes or 28 minutes, and he never once said
any questions.
And he had questions. And he did get some applause and answered the questions, but that's kind of accepted. But
The difficulty is that, you know, the only really able man they got, Humphrey. You got to say Humphrey's able. Humphrey's quick in the speak. He can stir up an audience, do everything.
I think the space shuttle statement by Muskie was a political disaster. I really did. Well, it cuts in an area where he had to run strong.
Well, he's the curse on the environment, Jeff. He's got to be for the environment. You know, when Teddy, the other day, when Teddy on meeting on the civil rights, we haven't got the lease and reconstruction, for Christ's sake, what did his brother do? And so it's not a goddamn thing, but we really aren't. Our civil rights are apparently too good. We've totally entered the dual school system. What the hell in Christ have they done? We've had the program of jobs, minority enterprise. What did they do in this field? There was no program about minority enterprise. There was no progress in any of the dual school system. There was no program for food stamps that was adequate. And there was no further the welfare reform. We have acted on the first three. We're waiting for the Congress for 2.5 years to act on the other. God damn it, got some people out to talk that way. If they do, they can kill them.
Well, he's very vulnerable on that. The budget message has some great sentiment on the civil rights accomplishment. A good person.
I call that because of too much. But okay. It's good in some places.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It helps.
All right, what else have you got today?
Interesting lunch yesterday with
get back to my speech
first. Mr. Yankelovich.
Seeing that, so we've got Arthur Burns today. According to Cotton, a long talk, he said Arthur has said that he's got his board open in the supply.
It's a mixed picture, Mr. President. He let it go up for 3 weeks, and he let it trail off for 3 weeks. Schultz believes that Dewey Dane and some of the Democrats over there are really sabotaging it. Flanagan believes that the other monetary measures, not the money supply, are taking the pressure off so that you don't need to expand. To be safe, I would side with Friedman and Schultz, but
Flanagan knows that much about it. He's a Wall Street man, those Wall Street ones.
You've got
to say our Democratic friends and more of the regular Arthur on hand. Arthur's a goddamn thing. We get another.
Easiest
Democrats over there.
Easiest guy to manipulate in the world by just building his ego up, and he sits there and presides as the great central banker. And these guys
are central banker, and I know they do what's right, so forth and so on. Anyway, we're gonna work on it today.
No, that's important, because that's the one way we get that.
That's it, it's about the end. The only goddamn strong captain we got is Mel Richardson.
In his area, Richardson is strong.
Real Richardson is. And his area is a hell of an area. The other guy, Romney, is fine for what he is, and Wolfie's fine for what he is, and Rocket's work is fine to travel around through the Wilcox, and his fellow over, and Labor's a nice guy.
Bucks is doing a hell of a job for you.
Bucks?
Oh. I got a letter this week, Mr. President, from the best political barometer in the Midwest. And, no, sir. This is from Bill House in Kansas. And Bill House was the head of the cattlemen. He's a staunch conservative Republican and always on the negative side. Everything's always going to hell. And dear Chuck, when corn prices dropped to 90 cents in the farm in the Midwest this fall, I just about wrote off the Republican Party west of the Mississippi River for the fall of 72. I conveyed this to both senators. Today I can truthfully say that we have a chance, and should the president continue in the direction he is now going, U.S. agriculture will be basically healthy by summer, and it will be very difficult for the Democrats to carry any part of this country. He goes on, he praises the hell out of Bucks. He said he's just terrific. And that we've really now gotten every one of the dairy industries in good shape, the pork producers. Goes through the list. He said you've got one problem, which is corn, and Bucks is handling it beautifully.
Corn's next year. It's, we all know corn's going to go up.
And, but when Bill House writes me that kind of a letter, I get a feel we're doing better out in the Midwest. Because he's always kind of down to
us. Who's the other
Yankelovich. He's the... No, Dan. He's the fellow that's been doing all the polling on youth. You've been reading his stuff because you've noted it in the news summary.
I didn't know the name.
Well, he's running. He's been running all the youth polls for 4 or 5 years, and he's now running national political polls. And in fact, Kine, New York, very interesting fellow. Kine and
young people get with this and make money, but they also become celebrities.
They do, and
like our friend, how's our new candidate?
Luke?
No, the other Jewish friend. Are you Jewish? Jewish friend? Senator?
Oh, Senator, he's Australian. He's Jewish. Married to an Arab. He's kind of a...
He must be a stranger. Go ahead.
He's kind of a... Senator's got us way up this week, by the way. He's got a big rise started again. Yankelovich is the one who, he's now taking over all the political polling for Time.
Oh, boy.
And for the New York Times. And so I've decided to get close to him. And get friendly with him.
Good for you.
And he's, he brought down a wealthy...
You know him for years?
No, sir. No, I had
a... young, old, you know?
Very pleasant, middle-aged fellow.
Middle-aged? Yeah. Oh, well, I like it. Sounded young to me, so oh, you said he was polling
now. He was polling the youth, yeah. He's a smart kid.
Quarter of the top, if you will.
Yes, sir.
I know you do. Well, I tell you, I got our burns coming in at 11:30. So, and then I've got to go at the docks right at 12:30. Let's see. Okay, how about two? Did you do it for two? Let's set two. Okay, Bill. Well, why don't you do this? Drop it off. You know, I'll be at the EOB, drop it off, and then I can read, and then I'll have you come by, say, around 3, and we can chat that. Because, you see, then I got to get back to the State of the Union. Ray's going to have another draft at 4, and I'm forgetting this damn thing until after the State of the Union and finish it off next Monday. Oh, yeah. Okay, how's it coming? You beginning to feel good about it? You got the feel or the thing and so forth? Yeah. How the hell with it? Well, we'll see about that. But I mean, the main point is, more important than his ritualistic language is the direction and what we really say here. You know? Yeah. Well, the point that I was trying to make is that I think this idea of I think one of the most powerful points is this, that here we were basically in a bomb shelter, and I said, when people were asking, why didn't we respond to something? Why didn't we agree to a deadline? Why didn't we agree to change POWs and so forth? I said, I had to remain silent in order to, because the only hope of negotiations at the time that both sides were seriously negotiating secretly was to keep them. So now, however, I think that's a powerful point, the fact that we took the goddamn heat when we could have blew them blown out of the water. Okay, good. You come over to the EOB, you were there months ago, be out there. Manolo's not here today, just give it to him, he'll bring it in to me.
Well, the only point which can't go over to you was that you fellows in politics tend to react too much to the ripples of the polls. He said, your basic strength is a hell of a lot more solid than you realize, because, or than you may realize, sitting where you are. Because, he said, with the attitudes that prevail in our society, with the downgrading of institutions, the feeling that people have that government can't perform, that they haven't gotten what they wanted.
Did you call him saying that today? People are against chief executives, governors,
exactly.
Mayors,
business
county leaders. Officials, business leaders, yeah. And presidents.
And Yankovlevich has this theory that there's a dual standard of moralism in the country, that the people expect totally moral performances by government, business, etc., even though they won't do it themselves. And his feeling is for us to have 50% of the public staunchly behind us, whether you, who's ever mentioned it, take Gallup or Harrison. Having come through a period when, as he described it, the country was adjusting itself culturally and socially and politically, is quite remarkable, and that the residue of Nixon's strength in the country is much stronger than we gauge by day-to-day polls. And this guy's he's a cold-blooded professional. I don't think he's got any political instincts at all. But
he might have,
very interesting.
He might have more people that are witnesses to bigger than the other side. That's important.
Well, a wider base also.
That's what I mean. We may have more, I said, wider base. On the other hand, you come down to it, Buchanan's got a big interesting theory. You know, you've got two different theories in our set. You've got the Price-Darwin theory, which is the presidential and the rock vote. Realize everybody. And the Buchanan theory, which is tear out their eyeballs, and that people want excitement, controversy, and not dullness, and so forth and so on and so on.
Well, that's a certain kind of controversy.
Well, his point is, of course, I pointed out to him that, well, after all, when we had our so called confrontation with me, everybody thought it was going to help us in polls and help at all. Now, may it help us in another way.
I think it
people who feel strongly rather than not strongly. I don't know.
I can demonstrate to you in every fold.
According to Connolly, that's the case. Connolly says, I said to him, I said, well, Connolly said, the elements of air showed us an evening all of musty. He said, well, that's going to change the minute that they nominate, because he said, when Carrier got in that party to listen to somebody, they have a fight. And then the other point, of course, that Connolly makes is that that's it, the poll shows 49. I said, no improvement over last year. As a matter of fact, less. I said, oh, you could say that it would read less. You can explain the less for the fact that this is the 18-year-olds and that didn't, so that may account for 4.5%. But he said, well, the point is, Thomas, the point is, people feel better. He said, I don't give a damn what anybody tells you, they're more confident. And he said, they feel better. He said, on the other hand, and he makes a very good point, that as far as political leaders are concerned, they must be loved, hated, loved by some, feared by some, and hated by a few. And he says, it may be that we do not have enough of the love and the hate. No, I love and the hatred. And the hate, he says, I should say, is very high either, but he says that his point being, that love and fear are essential in a political leader. And you need a hell of a lot more of that.
Intense.
This, of course, is totally opposed to the garment price that you talk about. They're damn smart fellows. But they don't believe in it. They say just be presidential incumbency is what makes you win. Connolly, of course, totally disagrees. Friend Howell, of course, totally dislikes Connolly, probably for that reason.
Oh, no. His reason for Connolly is very interesting. He thinks Connolly, the closer he is, he thinks Connolly is a guy who wants power all the time. And the closer he is to you, the more presidential power he's going to take. No, he just thinks he's very ambitious. He admires him. He thinks he's a skilled professional. But,
No, I know he's skilled, but my point is that the love, fear, you don't still fear about raising hell. Johnson was still had a lot of fear.
Yeah, but
I had a lot of love. He did fear. He had still too much fear, too much hate.
Right.
The question, Eisenhower was feared love, still love, no fear,
right,
and very little hate. Truman was still love and fear,
and
hate, and evil proportions. See, it's always a question of the balance. But in our case, I mean, I tried to knock the can out there. I said, well, what the hell, you talk about being exciting, what the hell could have been more exciting than we did last year? We just scratched the China announcement, the August 17th announcement, the court appointments, they were controversial as hell. And we fought them right down to the line. And the meaning confrontation, you know, any one of those, Chuck, for a normal president would be a hell of a big thing.
No, but not
now, the main thing we have to do,
not in today's society,
is media. So we have a hell of a media problem. We make a story and it lasts 2 days.
Right.
And then they kill it. The sons of bitches kill it.
That's right. The TV in particular could, any one of the things we did last year could so glorify it and deify you that nobody could touch you this year. They could go back and re-show that famous China announcement, and make it just, I mean, if they want
it. He's got to piss on that now. He said, well, I says, I'm for it, but he said, maybe we paid too high a price. Oh, shit.
India, Pakistan.
Oh, shit. Not really.
Well, the only point I'd make to you, Mr. President, is that there's a fine line today between the garnet price theory and the Buchanan theory. And that is that you can serve that country and show yourself to be a strong, tough leader that inspires the fear and a little bit of hate and the respect, which I think is a better word than love, because I think respect is what you're talking about. You can do that.
A warm feeling is what you need.
Well,
warm
identification.
Part of our warm feeling thing is the utter failure of our public relations staff and the respect we do. I do perhaps more warm things than anybody that's been in the office. Christ, everything from city. Indian painters,
yeah, but that
my daughter called her, said the World War and those people, his get out of it, anyway.
That comes through, that scene of you with that Cuban girl, the scene of you with your arm around that black, it comes through. My argument would be that in today's society, it's very hard to generate any feelings. I'd rather generate respect than love any day. And the meanie confrontation, Mr. President, of all the things last year, did more to solidify your political strength because it was a lasting impression of strength of character on your part. But still, today, people talk about it. There isn't any... No subject has come up more often in conversation, word of mouth. People remember that vividly, and they think of you as being strong. And the one thing that, if we're running against Muskie, which I guess the odds favor, that you've got that he doesn't have, and this is where Buchanan is right and Price and Grammer are wrong, is that strength of character to be tough, gutsy, and whether you're right or wrong, when you're up against a guy who looks defensive, looks indecisive, looks wishy-washy, isn't really sure of his own mind, is not a strong leader. He tries to project this calm image of trust me, and that won't last, because people today have got to rely on something. They've got to have strength they can lean on. And the meanie thing, by contrast, just to take one extreme against the other, the meanie thing against Meet the Press Sunday, that will win the election. And it is what people yearn for today. It's what they want. And if they feel troubled about society, they want a president that they can... They know that he's going to be doing the right thing. They know that he's going to be doing something and doing it tough if he has to.
Maybe, I don't know, that's maybe except that you have to engage in some activities that are something more. Connie's an interesting thing. I said, well, what will do, John? I said, more conversations like with Bradley, the best friend, still on. He said, that's just, those are good. He says, I have a place that I would do. He says, he said, everybody knows you can do that. Everybody knows you're just as great. But all that, he says, proves that you're a goddamn good professional. You know, he's right. He's right. And I know the answer. But you see, his point is that the emotional reaction is caused, that it is the enemy, very true. You got to have an enemy, you got to kick the shit out of him. And everybody else is up about it.
We'll have those occasions.
We have. Of course, you know, I recall, interestingly enough, Malakoff's reaction to the Sunday lunch. It was, of course, all important. He said, you know, I related to the president for the first time because he was out there fighting. Now, and Buchanan makes the very valid point that Price and Garment et al., that group, is wrong in interpreting the 70 election, because they also, the 70 election hurts. They said it wasn't 70 election that hurts, it was what people said afterwards that hurt because of that miserable damn telecast, you know, where Sapphire and some of our PR guys screwed it up beyond belief. And as a result, left bad impression. And Pete, but wasn't that impression? You know, Gallup poll right after election, we had 57-30.
Way up.
Same as we had before.
That's right.
Now that doesn't mean election didn't hurt us at all. But from then on, we had a drum fire of attack on the press, remember? A drum fire. And it hurt.
Steady brothers, they just beat the hell out of us. The thing you also have to remember, Mr. President, when you look at where we are today, is that last summer, with the public attitudes on the economy just going to hell in a basket, and the Pentagon Papers, and credibility in government, which is an issue, and the recent Laos, the media blitz that we took on Laos, my God, where would we be today if without China, without the new economic policy, and meaning? And Meany, I can demonstrate to you that Meany did help. And taking Sinlinger's poll, where we were starting down the first week in November, and right after Meany, you shot up back to better than you were before. Take Harris, where between the 1st and the 10th of November, we were on a down escalator. And then we're back up, actually, from his second November poll. And that's after Meany. Now, he didn't poll right after Meany, so I can't be that precise. But if I'm any judge of political sentiments, that meanie confrontation had a hell of a solidifying. And in Sinlinger, it's dramatic. I mean, of course, he polls every day, so you can catch daily movements.
What's he showing about Sinlinger?
He's showing us at 50, and he's showing, which is the best we've ever been, and he's showing that economic expectations too good, I'm afraid. I mean, I'm almost scared of it.
Really, people feel that way.
He's gone at 131.1 and hasn't been that high in our administration.
His presidential things is what?
49.4, let's see.
Find out that Lincoln didn't give him any goddamn amnesty.
Muskie was shrewd on that one. That's the only one he was shooting.
He ducked it.
No, no, he came out against it. Against Anderson. And won't even consider what the condition.
And they shot.
Well,
or at all.
Won't even consider
why the war was over.
I said he would consider it only after the war was over, and at that point he would decide what his fellowship.
Yeah, well, that's basically what I said.
Yeah, he didn't really. I mean, he hardly.
I said we'd have to wait until all of our prisoners were returned, and after the war was over, he took them back to the same lot.
Oh, precisely.
They folded.
And he goes, oh, sure. He then went and did. Further, he said, while boys are there, while we're asking boys to serve and to fight and to die, we're not going to bring people home who elected not to. He almost took the alliance back on Sunday. He's pulled that issue already. The one he's pulled, and he's very uncomfortable with, his blessing, because he
tries. He knows the people, but he knows he can't take that line.
Right, and he just goes like this, and he loses when he does it, because,
you know,
well, he. What he doesn't do, Mr. President, he doesn't get the people who are
nobody's famous.
Any well,
just the limbs.
Yeah, but he doesn't get any identification with the anti-busing people, because he mushes it, you know. And he keeps using this phrase: "It's a necessary instrument of racial integration." That's a disastrous phrase.
Oh, why is it?
Well, people don't like to think that their kids are part of some instrument to achieve racial integration, and. I think he's hurting badly on that issue. I'd like to see some issue polls on how people identify him with busing. I might suggest. The horse is back in town, this person.
Okay.
I'll go where the fire is under the main door. Tell them they've all got their vacations by now, it's time to go after the juggler.
Score some points for us. Yeah, I think about that. I'm fine to make a very low piece with the union. And all our people, like the Scots and the Horse and the Aarons and the rest, they should try to get a good hand, particularly when I finish. In other words, that's what we want. But the Democrats are going to sit there and got that hand. That's why I'm not going for applause on it. I'm not going to have just half the House applauding. You know what I mean?
It's a, I'm sure.
But at the end, Republicans ought to really try to make it sound as if they're doing well. Thank God for just, you know,